This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to another one of our episodes, Ramadan Lecture Series 2019, dealing with topics that are taken from the Quran. And since this is the month of the Quran, this lecture series could not be of any more relevance. We, the human race, are different in just about everything: our backgrounds, color, creed, ideologies, thoughts, experiences. One thing, however, that we all have in common is that we are looking for happiness. Everyone is pursuing happiness. In no era in human history, however, have the complex mysteries of the universe been unraveled like they have in our era today. In no era in history before has man been able to subdue the unfriendly elements of nature like he has today. And in no era in human history have the means of comfort and welfare and well-being been attained like they have today. Nevertheless, we find that the goal of reaching that pleasant life, despite the cozy homes, despite the inviting furniture, despite sanitation on demand, despite hot water, cold water, never has the goal of reaching that pleasant life drifted further away from our shores like it has today. Some statistics. In 2006 alone, there were 31 million prescriptions of antidepressants here in England alone. Can you imagine? There was also a report that was published by the UNICEF suggesting now that the highest rate of teenage suicide in the developed world is that beautiful country, New Zealand. What is going on? The Independent also cited a report not too long ago saying that between the year 2010 and 2017, the rate of teenage suicide has spiked in England and Wales by a staggering 67%. What on earth is going on? I mean, the 21st century has taught us how to fly in the sky like birds and how to dive into the oceans like fish, but how to walk on planet Earth as happy, content human beings, a lot of us still don't know how to do this. What is going on? And here the story of Christina Onassis comes to mind. Christina, who was the daughter of the multi-billionaire Aristotle Onassis, whom when her father died, she inherited all of the deposits, the reserves, the boats, and she became the richest woman on earth. But was she happy? Far from it, unfortunately. Subhanallah, she married a man from America, and it was only a few years after that relationship would wither away and they would walk their separate paths. Not too long after this, she would marry a man from Greece. And again, it was the same experience. They would walk away from one another in divorce. She really was struggling. She would try her luck a third time with a Russian man, and people were staggered, amazed. They said to her, "How can it be like that a woman like yourself represents the capitalist society of America, be compatible with a man who represents the communist society of Russia?" What did she say? She said, "I am just looking for happiness, Ya Allah, Allahu Akbar." All of this within hardly 2 years. And now she was on the verge of marrying the fourth man because that relationship with the Russian man also broke down. This time she would try her luck for the fourth time with a French industrialist. And again, the party happened and they were married. And during one of the parties, Christina was asked, "Is it true that you are the richest woman on earth?" And she responded by saying, "I am the richest woman on earth and the unhappiest woman on earth." Again, a few years after this, that relationship broke down as well and ended in divorce. Having failed to find happiness in married life, Christina vowed to look for happiness all by herself, without marriage. And she traveled frantically from city to city, country to country, until she was tragically found at the age of 37 years old in a hotel room in Argentina, lying dead as an unfulfilled young woman. We cannot change the story of Christina, but we can undoubtedly change many stories of people who are heading in the same direction. I want to give you today, dear brothers and sisters, 7 milestones taken from the Quran, from the Book of Allah. If we act upon them with sincerity and determination, we will find happiness for sure by His permission. And if you were to collate what the experts and theorists and scientists have said about this particular topic, I claim that the majority of what they said have been captured by these 7 principles. Principle number 1, focus with me, dear brothers and sisters. And make sure that you take note of the headings. And I tell you this as a footnote. There's going to be a secret for you. I will leave that until the end of the talk. Principle number one, make sure that you give your second half due attention. What do I mean by your second half? Your second half, i.e. your soul. Your soul. Any Muslim can tell you that we the human beings are made up of two components. A body, a physical body, and a soul. And both of them require their food in order to live a content and happy life. Since the body was sourced from the earth, the food for that body is from the earth. So food and drink and marital relations, security, that's found here. That's where the food is to be sourced. As for the soul, it is extraterrestrial. It wasn't created from planet earth. And therefore the food for that soul has to be from Allah in the form of revelation, wahi, Quran, salah, dua, repentance, hijab, good companionship. That is the food for the soul. The issue is here. We all recognize the sound of the body when it screams out in hunger. But a lot of us completely are unaware of what the soul sounds like when it calls out for food. And we misread the messages. So the soul says, feed me, and we end up feeding the body. So we become more miserable. I give you an example. You feel down. You feel depressed. You feel that you are within a pit of darkness, anxious. So what do? We turn to the fridge. What do? We book a vacation. What do? We go on a shopping spree, a new pair of shoes. We're misreading the messages. What is calling out for help is the soul, not the body. It is the soul. And we're just giving it sedation. We're giving it temporary painkillers. And so the screams of the soul, they only get louder and louder because we're not giving it the food it requires. And this is why a lot of people turn to alcohol, drugs, intoxicants, because they can't deal with the sounds of the screams of the soul. So they drink, they take drugs, God forbid, they knock themselves out. And so they manage to quieten the scream of the soul for a short period of time. Then what happens? They wake up, they regain their consciousness, and their senses come back to them, and the screams of the soul return, and now they are harsher and louder than before. People don't know what to do. It's the soul that's calling you, not the body. The body is fine for the most part. And that is why people end up going to one of two destinations here. Either they give the soul the food that it has been yearning for the entire time, which is Islam and Quran and repentance and lowering the gaze. Or either they find no way to quieten those loud screams of the soul other than to claim their own lives. A'udhu billah. This is principle number one, guideline number one. Ensure that you give your second half the food that it desires. Principle number two, take note of the heading once again. Be a person of contentment. Be a person who is satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chose for him, chose for her. There was a man who used to wake up every morning and he would go to the edge of the sea and he would engage in his fishing and come home with only two fish. One fish he would give to his family, the other fish he would sell and reinvest in his family. One of his friends said to him, why do you only limit yourself to two fish? Why not four or five or ten? He said to him, then what? He said, well, then you will become more affluent. He said, then what? He said, then you can think about employing another fisherman to work next to you. He said, okay, then what? He said, well, eventually you can amass enough money to invest in a boat and bring you even more fish. He said, okay, then what? He said, then you can invest in a fleet of boats. Can you imagine? And you will become even more affluent. He said, then what? He said, then you can think about opening up your own fish store in town. He said, then what? He said, then maybe you can think about expanding and having a franchise of shops. He said, then what? He said, then you become a multimillionaire. He said, then what? He said, then you have peace of mind. He said, my brother, I am already at peace. La ilaha illallah. In other words, why do you need to take me to the other side of the world in order to bring me to a destination that I have already arrived at? I'm already happy with what Allah has given me. I don't need any more. And what is even more beautiful than this? The words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, summarizing the story in one sentence, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. He said, being rich and prosperous and wealthy is not about having a lot of money, a lot of material possessions, no. He said, being prosperous is when your heart is content. That is when you are rich, when your heart is content. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, we are travelers. You are a traveler. You and I are passers-by in the life of this world. And as a passerby, as a traveler, how many extras do you need? Much of the things that social media and TV has convinced us that we need are in fact extras that we don't need. And as a traveler, how many extras do you want to be carrying on your back? Lightest will be quickest on the Day of Judgment. Take that as a rule. Lightest will be quickest. So make your motto, make your slogan in life, O Allah, if you are pleased with me, if you are happy, then I don't mind what you give me and I don't mind what you withhold. O Allah, just be pleased with me. This is principle number two. Be a person of contentment. Principle number three. Again, are you taking note of the headings? Principle number three. Be one who pardons. Be one who forgives. I know that sounds cliche. I know that sounds standard. But I tell you this, dear brothers and sisters. It is only those who have experienced this who can testify to how effective this mechanism is in becoming a happy person who sleeps well at night. I know that there are some people who have upset you. I know some have perhaps stolen money from you, not returned possessions to you, some who have slandered you, backstabbed you. I know. And I also know that there is a sweetness involved in revenge. Don't get me wrong, that is true. However, there are certain things in life that are sweeter than revenge. Like what? Like being able to courageously overlook and forgive. Al-Raghib, he said, لَذَّةُ الْعَفْوِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ لَذَّةِ الْإِنْتِقَامِ. He said the sweetness involved in forgiving is far greater than the sweetness of taking revenge. He said the sweetness of forgiving is greater than the sweetness of seeking revenge. Allahu Akbar. I know it sounds cliche, but try it. In fact, more and more science is coming out nowadays suggesting a major link between this ability to act upon forgiveness and physical and mental well-being. Science is suggesting that those who are able to forgive and overlook the most, they are those who sleep best at night. And they have the lowest levels of cholesterol, lowest levels of blood pressure, and the least level of anxiety and depression-related disorders. And they are people who experience the least bodily pains. And they are people who sleep best at night, and so on and so forth. Allahu Akbar. In fact, Karen Swartz, who is an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences, said that there is a major link and a major burden associated with being hurt and disappointed. So this is the third principle. Be someone who pardons, be someone who overlooks wherever possible, especially when dealing with Muslims, dear brothers and sisters. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarized this meaning beautifully in one bit of advice that he gave to a companion called Uqba son of Amir. He said to him, Ya Uqba ibn Amir, O Uqba son of Amir. Listen to this advice. He said to him, Sil man qata'ak, wa'a'ti man haramak, wa'fu an man zalamak. O Uqba son of Amir, establish ties with those who've cut you off, and give to those who've withheld from you, and forgive those who have oppressed you. Allahu Akbar. Focus on that third one. Forgive those who have oppressed you. This is milestone number three. Be one who pardons. Stay with us, dear brothers and sisters. We will be back after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome back. Principle number four from our principles from the Quran dealing with the topic of happiness and how it is to be attained. Principle number four, make sure you take note of the headings. Be a person who differentiates between the means and the ends. Differentiate between the vehicle and the destination. What does that mean? You and I are not from here. Our parents were not from this country. Rather, Adam and Eve, and these are the ones whom I am speaking about, Adam and Hawa, they are not from planet Earth, they are from somewhere above. And it was due to a particular predicament that happened there in the heaven that they were evicted. They were placed here on Earth for a short period of time. They carried out a short examination and then they returned back to their destination, their ends. And you and I are no exception to the rule. We are passers-by in the life of this world. We will carry out a very short exam within our 50, 60 or 70 years. Then we shall die and meet Allah. And this examination theater called planet Earth will be deconstructed, never to be seen again. Be a person who differentiates between the means, dunya, and the ends, the hereafter and paradise. You will be a happy person. I give you an example. Imagine that you are a businessman who sells pens, £1 a pen. then a merchant comes to you and he says, look, I'm willing to buy from you every morning a box of pens, £10 a pen. Of course, the deal is agreed. He says to you, just come to my office first thing in the morning and I will give you your money, you give me the products. The only thing that upsets you a little bit is that you realize that when you go to his shop in the first hour of the morning, he's not very accommodating. He frowns a little bit. He's not that welcoming, not very hospitable. I ask you a question, will you care? Will it bother you? The answer is no. So if someone kicks you or slaps you in Hajj, or somebody doesn't say thank you when giving them way at the traffic lights, you say, Alhamdulillah, this is from Allah. How can I profit from this particular scenario? Differentiate between the means and the ends. That is principle number four. Principle number five, make sure that you are a person who correctly places his reliance and you will be a happy person. Make sure that the one who you depend upon meets two conditions, somebody whom you love a lot and somebody who can be relied upon. Why? Because you may love someone, but if they can't be relied upon, you will struggle to continue with that person. Similarly, there may be a person who you can rely upon, but you don't love them. Life cannot continue with such a person. They have to meet both conditions, love and reliance. Love and dependability. The issue is here. Even if you find that person who you love and you can depend upon him or her, guess what? That person has to die. That person has to bid you farewell. And therefore we come to the conclusion that the only one who can be relied upon and who will never let you down, and a person who or one whom you love unconditionally, that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah, he says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and to Allah belongs the knowledge of the unseen. وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ, and all matters shall return back to him. فَاعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, so worship him and rely upon him. Allahu Akbar. Worship him and rely upon him. Worship is your love and here is your reliance. That is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will never let you down. Why is this important, dear brothers and sisters? Because life teaches us that not everyone who has a heart will understand, not everyone who has ears is a listener, not everyone who has eyes can see, meaning that you will be let down over and over and over again. The only one who will never let you down when you put your reliance upon him, he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore this is principle number five. Ensure that your reliance, your dependency is anchored upon he who you love and he who can be relied upon. He is none other than Allah. Principle number six, dear brothers and sisters, make sure you're taking note of the headings. Be a consistent Muslim. Be a steadfast Muslim. Even when you make a mistake, repent. Don't be one foot in, one foot out. That's part of being a happy person, take it from me. Any human being who believes that the happiness can be found at other than the doorstep of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown very bad expectations in Allah. Impossible. It is only with him and obeying him. And take it as a rule in life. Your soul's fatigue and exhaustion is directly linked to how far or close it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was traveling, he said to his servant after experiencing so much fatigue, he said, "Atina ghada'ana, laqad laqina min safarina hadha nasaba." He said to him, "Bring us our food. We are so tired because of this journey. I am so fatigued." Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said in commentary of the statement of Prophet Musa. He said, "Walam yansab hatta jawaz al-makan alladhi umira bihi." The Prophet Musa sallallahu alayhi wasallam only experienced fatigue only after he crossed the area that Allah wanted him to be at. Allahu Akbar. So his bodily exhaustion was a sign that you had crossed the area where I wanted you to be. So you do the same and you say the same. Oh my soul, if you are fatigued, if you are constantly down, if you are consciously anxious, it is a sign that you are standing outside of where Allah Almighty wants you to stand. La ilaha illallah. That is why Ibn Taymiyyah, he would say in beautiful words, "Man arada as-sa'adata al-abadiyyah, falyalzam 'atabata al-'ubudiyyah." Whoever is looking for eternal happiness, he will find it at the doorstep of worship. Eternal happiness is found at the doorstep of worship. Allahu Akbar. Be a consistent Muslim, consistent with your salah, consistent with your zakah, consistent with your fast, consistent, my sister, with the correct Islamic hijab, consistently away from bad companionship, consistently away from intoxicants, and you will find that happiness. Principle number 7, be with the people who live by these principles. And that's it. This is the end of the episode, essentially. Be with the people who live by these principles, because you and I will slip, we will make mistakes, we will succumb to peer pressure and family pressure. So who are the ones who will guarantee that you will stay upon the narrow, the straight and narrow? They are the people who you live with. They are your insurance, if you wish. Make sure that they are your friends, they are your companionships, they are the people whom you speak with. And here is the surprise I wanted to share with you. You're probably thinking to yourself, how am I going to remember these 7 headings? Even if I have written them down, when I need them, I want to remember them in my mind. How am I going to remember them? Here is the surprise. You have already remembered them. You know them already, because each and every one of these 7 principles were taken from a surah from the Quran that you have memorized. Suratul Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. A surah that has 7 verses, and we have taken a principle from each verse chronologically. Consider with me the following. We said principle number 1 for happiness. Be a person who shows due attention to his second half. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah Almighty, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. You say that before eating, before drinking, even before engaging in matrimonial relations, things that serve the body. But you are reminding yourself that my soul has a right. My soul has a right. You say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu Akbar. Principle number 2. We said, be a person of contentment, happy with what Allah Almighty has given him or her. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the world. You say that when you are happy and when you are sad. Principle number 3. We said, be a person who pardons, who overlooks, who forgives. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says. He is the most merciful, entirely merciful, especially merciful. And we have been taught that those who show mercy to creation, Allah Almighty will show mercy to them. Forgive and pardon. That is principle number 3. We said number 4, be a person who differentiates between the means and the ends, the vehicle, which is life of this world, and the destination, which is paradise. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the master of the day of judgment, owner of the day of judgment. So whenever you feel down or depressed or hurt or disappointed, you remember the day of judgment is where we shall all meet. Allahu Akbar. Differentiate between the means and the ends. Maliki Yawmiddin. Principle number 5, we said, be one whose reliance is correctly placed. Someone whom you love, and someone who you can depend upon, and that is only Allah. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship. That's the love. And you alone we rely upon. Allahu Akbar. That is principle number 5. We said principle number 6, be a consistent Muslim. Be steadfast. Be firm. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path, O Allah. In other words, keep us on the straight path of Islam, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Principle number 7, we said, just be with the people who live with these principles. Be with the people of goodness and flush out the people of bad influence from your life. Where is that taken from Suratul Fatiha? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The path of those whom you have bestowed your favor upon, O Allah, not those who have earned your anger or those who have gone astray. I want to be with these people, O Allah. These are the 7 principles taken from Suratul Fatiha, 7 principles for happiness, and therefore it is no surprise that Allah Almighty has ordained upon us to recite this beautiful surah no less than 17 times a day. It is a reminder of where true happiness is to be found. In our next episode, we will be addressing, inshallah, the topic of excellence, ihsan, from the Qur'an. How does the Qur'an speak about the topic of excellence, living by excellence, hoping to die upon excellence, and hoping therefore to receive a reward of excellence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter? Make sure that you are with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.